Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome, welcome, welcome. I want to welcome each and every one of you to the show today. We're looking specifically today at electric everything. How easy is this going to be? Well, there are a lot of stories out there right now, a lot of news articles that show us that it's not going to be that easy. And I think when you see some of the articles that we're going to peer into today, you'll see exactly what I mean. You know, as I look at Tesla and I look at a lot of the other vehicles and a lot of the other companies, I think a lot of people have sort of dumped everything to go to this other new shiny object. And what I call that is the ferret effect, the ferret effect. They've all dumped the whole idea to become incentivized by what the government is offering both private citizens and some of these large corporations. They're shifting their weight to the other side so that they can become competitive, to also become the first on the scene to do something. And so when you look at that, you will understand exactly why some of these companies, such as Ford Motor Company and a few others, would lay off so many people. Really, to be honest with you, that's where I think I'm going to start today. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. We've got a lot of ground to cover. And I do want to look specifically at Ford. So Ford decides that they are going to fund its electric vehicle efforts in part by laying off 8,000 workers. The cut seems to be a part of a plan announced earlier in the year by Ford CEO Jim Farley to cut $3 billion in operational costs from business operations related to internal combustion products. In a video sent to employees Thursday morning, Farley addressed the reported job cuts and did not deny them. So these people who've been working for this company, let's just look at that first of all. Okay, let's just look at how sad that's got to be. To receive from a company that you've been working for whatever period of time. I don't care if it's just been a year. But for you to receive a video from the CEO telling you, ta-ta, we're done now. We don't need your services. So an anonymous source told Bloomberg on Wednesday that Ford is planning to cut as many as 8,000 jobs from its Blue Ford division. Ford Blue Products produces the company's ICE vehicles, and Ford is looking to cut $3 billion in operational costs from its gas-powered business to invest more money in its electrical vehicle developments. So Bloomberg reported that the plan is not yet finalized, and a Ford spokesperson told Car and Driver that the company declines to comment. Of course they do. Here's the update. The update came out yesterday because this story was done on the 20th, the day before. But, of course, they have updates. So let's see what it says. It's stating that according to an anonymous source from the Detroit Free Press, Ford CEO Jim Farley did address the reported job cuts in a video sent to employees at 7 a.m. on Thursday. The sources claimed that in the video, Farley did not deny the job cuts and reiterated the company's desire to reduce costs. A Ford spokesperson confirmed that the video was sent in its general premise to the Free Press. But a copy of the video has not yet been obtained. Up to 8,000 Ford employees could be hit with job cuts, according to a Wednesday report from Bloomberg. The move could be a part of a plan to cut $3 billion in operational costs from the company's gasoline-powered business operations in order to boost profit and invest more into Ford's electric vehicle endeavors. The cuts will reportedly come from the Ford Blue Division, which handles all the production for the Ford internal combustion engines and the vehicles, and primarily come from the salaried positions, which are approximately 31,000 salaried workers at Ford right now. The Ford CEO announced in March a radical restructuring of Ford called the Ford Plus Plan, creating the Ford Blue Division and the Model E Division, which it handles electric cars. As a part of the plan, he also boosted some of the spending for the electric vehicles to $50 billion. And he said in an interview with Bloomberg Television that it was based on our core automotive operations. Farley also added that we need Ford Blue, to be more profitable to fund this. Now, I think that it's a gamble, but then there are a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of business owners and a lot of people who have made a lot of money that do gamble, but I don't see this one as becoming a very promising gamble, but nonetheless, this is what they're doing. So now, previously in February, at a Wolf Research Conference appearance in reference to Ford's ICE operations, Farley said, quote, "We have too many people. We have too much investment. We have too much complexity. And we don't have expertise in transitioning our assets." Well, I guess he wasn't lying. I guess this was his opinion. And it's apparent because, well, we see what just happened on Wednesday. Now, there were some big losses early in 2022. Ford lost $3.1 billion in the first quarter of 2022, although much of that was driven by a sharp value decline in its stake in the electric vehicle startup Rivian. The operating profit, meanwhile, was at $2.3 billion, down from $3.9 billion in the first quarter of 2021. Car and Driver did reach out to Ford to comment on the topic, and they received the following response from a T.R. Reid, who is the Director of Corporate and Public Policy Communications. Quote, "We're not commenting on speculation about our business. As we've said lots of times, to deliver our Ford Plus transformation and lead an exciting and disruptive new era of electric car and connected vehicles, we're reshaping our work and modernizing our organization across all of the automotive business units in the entire company. We've laid out clear targets for our cost structure so that we're lean and fully competitive with the best in the industry." Oh, wow. Well, the bad part about that is, yes, a lot of companies do move in that way. As a matter of fact, most companies do. I think the problem with the whole Ford issue is the fact that these individuals are losing their jobs right now, because we already know that the government has put up under this current administration the desire to have everything met by 2030 as it relates to the whole vehicle piece. The infrastructure in the United States, however, is not going to be equipped for this, which is the reason why I don't think that Ford thought about it. You know, I really believe that maybe they would have fared better if they had just decided to take the whole vehicle piece, the electrical vehicle piece, and do it in chunks. In other words, don't lay off all 8,000 of these people And maybe they will. Maybe, you know, maybe what I'm saying is premature because as they stated, Ford is not going to talk about their inner workings of the business, and therefore they may not say how they're going to let all these people go. But 8,000 people is a lot of folk. But I digress. What I would do if this were the case, because I wouldn't want to cut off my nose to spite a face as a business, I would, you know, maybe lay off a handful here and then allow them to work and see how things are going with the legislation, with the new upcoming elections here in November, and then the 2024 election. I think I would sit back on my heels just a little bit and monitor this thing. And the purpose for the monitoring is because you never know if these things are based right now, okay, the whole climate change deal is really based on who's in the office, even though we know that they're, you know, is the possibility of strings pulling, you know, from elsewhere. If we're just looking at it from the United States standpoint, then that would tell us that there's the greatest opportunity of all for this thing to fall. And then what are you going to do? Are you going to have a massive rehiring? Say, for example, something does, God forbid, happen to our seated president, because I would not want to see Kamala in. But I would say this, what would we do if he weren't there? And then all of a sudden, you know, we get somebody else in and their idea is to release it and let everybody just go back. Everybody go back to gas. So you've run over here and you've invested all of your chips, Ford, into the possibility of all vehicles being purchased within the next several years here as a electric vehicle. And now what do? When you get maybe, say, for example, Trump or somebody like Trump back in, what do? How do you recoup that loss? How do you recoup that? How does that work? That's amazing, right? So I think that that's a part of it, and that's why I feel like it's just not so good. Another thing is these vehicles are not as reliable as everybody would want you to believe. If we're just looking at the hybrid car or the electric car, they're not that reliable. That, as a matter of fact, they are some of the least, there are several that are the least reliable, okay? So the 2020 Tesla Model X, yeah, that's a non-reliable vehicle. Survey respondents reported problems with the seals and the weather stripping of all simple things, just simple things. But these simple things add up when you consider the price of the majority of these vehicles. Now, I will honestly say that I think that there are, as it relates to Ford and Tesla, as we segue into the reliable and the unreliable in the hybrid world, I would honestly say that I believe that there must be some stipends that these companies are beginning to receive, especially Ford. And you all may know about this, and it's my ignorance that would speak out this way. Forgive me for that. But what I want to show is perhaps Ford has gotten a stipend that Tesla didn't get. So in other words, Ford knows something that Tesla doesn't know. And by Ford mass producing a whole bunch of vehicles and pouring all of their funds into something, it makes that Tesla that may, you know, cost, say, for example, you know, maybe it's $120,000 for one Tesla. And maybe it's very expensive to produce those. And maybe Ford can take, you know, that amount of money, and maybe they can sell them really dirt cheap. Maybe they can sell five for that price. Maybe five more Americans will be in one of those little electric batteries, little battery vehicles. Maybe that's what's going on. Maybe there's a kickback. I shouldn't say maybe. There was a kickback with the 2020 pandemic. Sorry to know there's a kickback. Imagine that there's this kickback and they know about it. And so their goal really is to just get Tesla out of the way. Yeah. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe the goal is just to get Tesla out of the way right quick. And by giving companies like Ford and like Chevy some money, maybe they're trying to do that. You never know. But in a reliability survey published in November of 2021, Consumer Reports named electric SUVs the least reliable vehicle type. Now, some of the things in this report, I wanted it to be a little meatier, right? But it does go to how shoddy the vehicles are put together. When you think about a shoddy vehicle, you pay a lot of money, and then you get this shoddy vehicle. I remember looking at a BMW before I settled on the one that I ended up getting. And there, it was like the bottom basement one. It was the one that you could roll up the windows, you pull up and down on the knobs. It was almost like it was a German taxi, right, that they had just sold in the United States. And I decided, no, I don't think so. The price, it's still a BMW. The price is, you know, still up there, but I want electric and power all. Kind of reminds you of that. Like you're going to get this just bottom number, or this bottom style base. Nothing fancy, no bells, no whistles. But yet you got this big high price. So I think this is where this is going. I think that's where this particular report is going. So in a reliability survey published last November, Consumer Reports named electric SUVs the least reliable vehicle type. Now CR has followed that up with a report shedding light on a specific problem and the specific problem areas. On average, electric vehicles have significantly higher problem rates than internal combustion vehicles across model years 2019 and 2020, according to CR's data. That improved somewhat for 2021, but certain models still showed high rates of problems, according to the report. Most common electric vehicle problem areas were in the car electronic. Ah, that's serious. Electronics, noises, and leaks, as well as power equipment, climate system. Wow, pardon the pun on that one. Body hardware, drive system, and the paint as well as trim. Now, those are the aesthetics of it all, but the other areas are very serious. It goes on to say that the specific example of an in-car electronics failure was a display screen going blank in 2019 Audi e-tron models, while problems with exterior doors in the same model constituted a power equipment issue. The report also pointed out to drive system problems with the 2019 Chevrolet Bolt electric vehicle that included electrical failure, drive unit replacement, and faulty components. Other examples involved Tesla vehicles, from failing temperature sensors in the 2020 Model S to loose trim and mismatched paint on the 2020 Model Y. CR singled out the latter for the much worse than average reliability car. So when you're thinking of it, you're thinking of the stuff that I mentioned with the BMW that was just standard, but it was the low model. This stuff is expensive and it's raggedy. So that's a big difference between having the lower model or just the base model and then just having a bunch of money spent and you're really driving around in a piece of junk. So the survey respondents also reported problems with the seals and the weather stripping in the 2020 Model X, which can cause water leaks and wind noise. Can you imagine driving around in what sounds like a storm shelter with wind whipping around, feeling the wind rip through your hair, and you're not in a convertible? The Model X's doors have presented issues from the start. In 2016, CEO Elon Musk said that he was not sure that anyone would have built or designed this car because it's so difficult to make. In all cases, the important point is not just that these problems occur, but that they occur at a high rate or a higher rate than in comparable internal combustion vehicles. And the question is why? Why are you having all of these, for example, you know, trim issues? Don't you make cars normally? Oh, you don't? How do you end up with so many? I mean, it's a window. Does it matter if it's a window in a, you know, gas car or an electric car? Is there a big difference? Huh, I wonder. Well, why are they? Is it because you're hiring shoddy people? Is it made in America? What's the problem? What is the problem? So Elon Musk said that it's so difficult to make. He must be making them individually. Well, nonetheless, in all cases, the important point is not just that these problems occur, but that they actually occur at a higher rate than in the internal combustion vehicles. despite the fact that CR found higher rates of owner satisfaction, indicated that many EV owners aren't too worried about the reliability issues until, I guess, they combust on the road. Oh, boy. The same 2021 reliability survey also found that hybrids and plug-in hybrids cost less to maintain and repair. CR also noted that the most of these vehicles are built on proven systems, which could be an advantage when it comes to reliability. I don't know. I don't see that as being a plus. I really don't. Let's switch a little bit. So now we've already seen what's going on with Ford. We've already listened to a little bit about the reliability or the lack thereof in some of these areas. But aren't there more grave situations that we should consider when thinking about, you know, the whole electric car side? How about the Tesla Model S battery exploding? It just completely totals a car in just minutes. It just engulfed it, literally engulfed the car. Well, let's listen to one of these stories. In a recent test of Tesla's Model S ended with a bang in France, the vehicle burst into flames during the test drive. Four people were in the car but were able to escape before the car was engulfed. The story first came to light when a photograph of the burning car surfaced on Reddit. Tesla has since confirmed that the fire is working on it with the French authorities to try to determine the cause of the fire. The driver of the electric car told the French newspaper that he heard a loud noise while he was accelerating. And after the noise, the vehicle displayed a warning message, and the occupants were able to stop the car and evacuate before it burst into flames. The driver is quoted as saying, quote, in less than 1 minute, the car was in flames. In 5 minutes, it was totally destroyed, close quote. Don't trade your Model S just yet, according to Business Insider. 17 cars catch on fire every hour in the United States. Well, there's a sobering thought. In response to a Model S fire in 2013, Tesla CEO Elon Musk stated that Americans drive about 3 trillion miles per day, according to the Department of Transportation, and that equates to about one vehicle for every 20 million vehicles driven, compared to one fire over 100 million miles for Tesla. You know, he has a very unique way of looking at stuff, doesn't he? He can flip-flop stuff like it's nobody's business. He must get it from his father, because his father absolutely has no problem not seeing normal, especially in light of the fact that he fathered the child with a young daughter, stepdaughter. So you see how that messes with the mind. Now, I do want to look at, now that we've touched on the cars a little bit, and we're going to open up the lines here in a few minutes to give everybody the opportunity to talk about any of these topics that we've covered thus far. And that number that you're going to dial in, if you're listening on the internet, is 515-605-9357. Welcome to everybody who's listening via Facebook, the plug-in via Facebook for Blog Talk. Welcome. All right, so let's take a gander, shall we? I want to switch reels really fast, and I want to look at the solar portion of this conversation. The California refuse is piling up. Yeah, it's looking pretty bad. It doesn't look as if there's a good thing going on here. And here's a few pros and cons as it relates to some of the solar panels. After more than two decades of incentivizing homeowners to install solar panels on their roofs, California's landfills are starting to notice toxic waste from broken and discarded units people have thrown away. The Los Angeles Times reported that heavy metals like selenium and cadmium can pollute groundwater and are used to make all the panels that people are now tossing out into the garbage, a grim, unintended consequence of renewable infrastructure, but hopefully one that can be mitigated. Quote, people don't just realize that there are toxic materials In those electronics, Natalie Click, a doctoral candidate at the University of Arizona, told the Los Angeles Times. She goes on to say, once it gets crushed and put into the landfill, a lot of those toxic chemicals, she adds, and materials are going to leak into your groundwater. Well, I just looked at a story that was from the Los Angeles Times. They went back and double backed on what she said. This was her original quote. So I'm using a story that came from futurism.com because the original story said the exact same thing in the Los Angeles Times. But today I get an email because I am a subscriber of LA Times Digital. And as soon as you get to this story, the email says, we're sorry, we've got to make a correction here. She didn't say it this, and she didn't say that, and it wasn't this, it was actually that. So I knew that there was some backpedaling, and I didn't want to read that story. So I'm going to let you know why I'm reading this one from The Bite, the futurism.com's electric or digital newspaper. And The Bite, the underscore Bite, is actually where this comes from. So now people, when you consider the fact that everybody is really, really trying to defend the whole thought process of putting up solar panels, saying things like, oh, it's free, oh, it's better off. And this, no, it's not. There's several different things that have to go on in order for you to have these panels. And the government will always make a way to figure out how to get some money. Solar, sun is all free. But so is rainwater. But in certain areas, it's illegal to collect it. Let's go on in the story. She says, and I'll repeat, people just don't realize that there are toxic materials in those electronics, Natalie Click says. She says that once it gets crushed and put into the landfill, a lot of those toxic chemicals and materials are going to leak into your groundwater. Only about 1 in 10 panels are recycled because they produce just $2. Wow, because they produce just $2 to $4. Each once broken. Once they're broken, that's what it is. So I guess maybe somebody's finding a different way to go out and, I don't know, refurbish them or just figure out a way to sell them. Only about 1 in 10 panels are recycled because they produce just $2 to $4 each once broken down for parts or other materials. So maybe you'll have like a whole big place where you can just do the pick your parts. You know, the pick your part, where you go pick your part for the car? Well, if that's depressing, then hold up. There's some hope because The Verge reported that the supply chain shortage and increase in demand for solar products will likely increase the recyclability of the old panels and drive the value of their parts and materials up. That's good news, because it means that we could be headed toward a situation in which solar panels are more likely to be reused and less likely to end in landfills. And that's going to cause a problem because that type of stuff will always leak. Remember what went on with the televisions? We had those televisions that had the plasma in them, and then they all started having all kinds of issues. Do you think this could be the same? Do you think that this could be an issue if they started to recycle them? I mean, if you're getting rid of them from your ceiling, is it because they're not reliable anymore? They have a very short life when you compare it to, say, the terracotta clays that go on the top of the house, for example, in California. Is it, you know, could it be? Yeah, it could be. Sure, it could. There's not going to be a lot of people to help to recycle this and fix this. And I mean, what are we doing? Are we sending people through school now that can just handle this? Or are there people who already know how to deal with solar panels? And are they in abundance? Is there going to be a class? Where's that class going to meet? Well, they can't meet at the local high school like they used to for shop, like they used to for auto mechanics, like we used to have for home economics or cooking or sewing, or even our driving course that they don't do anymore. Who's going to teach that? Even if it's one or two people out there that are very successful at doing it, how are they going to figure out how to put it all together, the recyclable pieces? Who's going to help with putting those parts together? Huh. Well, whether the ones that we've tossed aside will ever be exhumed from their final resting place is a different story. They could be useful enough to warrant resurrection, but only if some of the companies think they can make money by becoming a grave digger and pulling them all up. No one's going to go back and pull those up. No one's going to. This is a disaster. This is a disaster. California people have been complaining that the junkyards are filling up with these toxic panels, the toxic solar panels. Now, the state of California gave a bunch of money. They gave a lot of money at one point if people to cajole folks to go down there and get these. Okay? They cajoled people to go get them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. California has been a pioneer in pushing for the rooftop solar power, building up the largest solar power market in the United States, more than 20 years, and 1.3 million rooftops. Later, the bill is coming due, beginning, and it started back in 2006. The state focused on how to incentivize people to take up solar panels, showered subsidies on homeowners who installed the photovoltaic. Is that it? Yeah. I wish Ronnie Mann were here. Photovoltaic panels. And that's what it's going to be for right now. And if you know how to say it, then it's that word that I'm trying to pronounce. It says that it had no comprehensive plan to dispose of them. California incentivized everybody. They gave everybody kickbacks if they went out and purchased them. Undoubtedly, somebody's friend or family was the people who owned some of these companies that they, wretched around and gave funds to. But the homeowners who installed these panels but had no comprehensive plan to dispose them, now the panels purchased under these programs are due to end. They run typically a 25 to a 30-year life cycle. Here's a quote for the record. This is what I was telling you guys about. I'm not even going to read this right now. I'm going to read this for you in a second because that was that quote that I was telling you that it looked like it was where they said they wanted to correct what she said. Well, we just read the corrected one. Let's go on. Many are already winding up in landfills where in some cases they could potentially contaminate groundwater. Do you see this? This is the Los Angeles Times. She said, okay, she's the lady who said that once they crush, they are going to poison your groundwater. Now, they're saying it could potentially. Do you see how they play on words? Do you see how they use you? Many are already winding up in landfills where in some cases they could potentially contaminate groundwater with toxic heavy metals such as lead, selenium, and cadmium. Sam Vanderhoof, a solar industry expert and executive chief of Recycle PV Solar, said that in only 1 in 10 panels are actually recycled. According to the estimates drawing from the International Renewable Energy Agency, data is decommissioned and they take the panels away and then they go ahead and they fiddle-faddle with them. That's what they're saying here. I'm just going to break it down. The looming challenge over how to handle truckloads of waste, some of it contaminated, illustrates how cutting-edge environmental policies can create unforeseen problems down the road. Quote, the industry is supposed to be green, Vanderhoof said, but in reality, it's all about the money. California came early to solar power. Small governmental rebates did little to bring down the price of the solar panels or to encourage their adoption. Until 2006, when the California Public Utilities Commission formed the California Solar Initiative that granted $3.3 billion in subsidies for installing the solar panels on the rooftops. The measure exceeded its goals, bringing down the price of solar panels and boosting the share of the state's electricity produced by the sun. Because of that and other measures, such as requirements of utilities by a portion of their electricity from renewable sources. Solar power now accounts for about 15% of the state's power. Question, are they still having rolling blackouts out there? Still having rolling blackouts in California. You see, let me stop for a second because I gotta interject here. It appears to me that everything this climate culture group of hippies wants to happen has a piece that hasn't been thought about. If you're still having dark rollouts or the blackouts, then what's the plus side to getting the solar panels? It's exactly like it is with this Jabo thing. Get once, get it twice, get it three times. Now you're quad-vaxxed. Oops, you've caught COVID. What is the point of doing any of this if it does not remedy or replace with existing reliability what you're using now? If it's not giving you the exact same type of reliability, then why would you switch out? That's my question. So really, what's it all about, Alfie? What is it really all about? So, yeah, well, anyway. So I want to see if you guys can hear this. The reducing carbon pollution in our power plants. This was done by former President Barack Obama, which, to me, pinned a lot of this dangerous stuff that we're now seeing. See, everybody was a little distracted during his quote-unquote reign, his public reign, another day, that they didn't see a lot of the things that were done, and now we're seeing a lot of the things that were done, all right? Now, let's take a look before we listen to him. The Clean Power Plan would have set some targets for each of the states, the whole entire look for them to have a healthier environment is what it would have done. But according to this report, California is no better for having had the solar panels, for having changed over to the people who were going to change. They're no better off. They're exactly the same. They're exactly the same, if not worse, because now they have a danger in having their water, as well as the ground around all of these places, damaged and sick. This is going to end up being, what is the movie that I always quote, two men enter, one man leaves? Thunderdome! This whole darn place. I can't even really read anymore. I really can't. I really can't even read anymore. I can't read anymore of this because I feel as if, you know, while I'm on this radio with you guys, while I'm here chatting with you, I feel like there's still a whole bunch of other stuff that's going on that's compiling the problem we don't even know about. It makes me feel like not even reading anymore and just waiting until like the end of this millennium and then just looking back and saying, okay, well, yeah. We could feel that. We thought that was happening. And it did. Look, this is what was going on that day. And it happened. This is what they said on this day. And this happened. These people are nuts. But this is the way that they start everything. This is the way that they start everything. Now, the EPA has curtailed, but it won't make a difference. The Supreme Court has curtailed the EPA's power to regulate carbon pollution and sent a warning to other regulators. Well, apparently they feel as if the EPA overstepped its bounds while under Mr. Number 44. In a highly anticipated but not unexpected 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled in June of 2020, on the 30th actually, that the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan exceeded the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's authority under the Clean Air Act. The ruling doesn't take away from the EPA's power to regulate carbon emissions from power plants, but it makes federal action harder by requiring the agency to show that Congress has charged it to act. In an area where Congress has consistently failed to act, all of those old individuals, the crones and all of the old gentle ducks, those men and women need to go. The Clean Power Plan and the policy at the heart is the heart of the ruling, and it never took effect because the court blocked it in 2016, and the EPA now plans to develop a new policy instead. So we stopped over here, but we're going to pick up and keep going. Nonetheless, the court went out of its way to strike it down in this case and reject the agency's interpretation of what the Clean Air Act permitted. Having said what the EPA cannot do, the court gave no guidance on what the agency can do about this urgent problem. Beyond climate policy, the ruling poses serious questions about how the court will view other regulatory problems or programs. The Clean Power Plan would have set targets for each state to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from electric power plants. Utilities could meet these targets by improving efficiency at existing coal-fired power plants and by the generation shifting, producing more power from natural gas and renewable sources like wind and solar. But, you know, under the Obama administration, he turned us basically into, you know, like a country in Africa with these darn stupid lights, these light bulbs that I'm looking up at right now that are strictly garbage, with the shower heads that have no water, just dribbling. I want to know who's got the shower heads on deck on the black market. Is there anybody that's got any real light bulbs left? Anybody? Can you buy them anywhere? This cat came in, turned us into Jamaica, and then left. Turned us into part of Djibouti, and then turned around and rolled out. You know how they have to sew clothes in the dark, and they only get like 2 hours of light in the day? It just made everything in the United States more depressing. I know I'm sounding a little kooky, but that's how I feel. That's how I see this whole darn thing. And I was not very happy with the whole light bulb thing. I enjoyed having a house that was brightly lit. Now everything looks like, I don't know, waiting for the Gestapo to come by. You hear the marching shoes, the marching boots walking outside the house. Like Meep is upstairs in the attic hidden. For those who like to read, you know the clue that I just gave you. That's what it feels like. It feels like the Nazis' boots are passing by the house. The whole place is dark. But you got light bulbs on. And then the light bill is very high. Yeah. He did a lot of this stuff. And I believe that he's still in office right now. I do. But I've said that 1,000 times. And I don't really think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of people agree. Some people might, but I think he's still there. Yeah, I do. I really do. The phone number to let your voice be heard today is area code 515-605-9357. This is the Felicia Lockhart Show, the Lockhart Perspective. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us.
Lockhart Radio.
Wow, there we go. We're going to switch reels a little bit here. And I want to look at the disadvantage. No, I don't want to talk about that. This is what I really want to show you. Hey, let's get down with the get down, shall we? This is what I want to talk about, because the other day I pulled this story and I thought that it was quite remarkable. It was quite remarkable, because did you know that when we're thinking about the power of the batteries and all this stuff, the batteries in the cars, we already know they're astronomically high. Most of us knew that, right? That they were very, very expensive. Yeah, we knew. They're very expensive to replace that battery. That battery is nothing cheap. The battery is quite high. But did you know that we have a shortage in what it takes to create these batteries? To create this stuff, to create all of this conversion? Did you know that? Well, as I struggle to find the story, I'm going to drag it out a little bit. At least I'm honest. Here's the deal. I'm just going to tell you in a big nutshell. Okay, and then when I find the story, I'll read the particulars. But in a nutshell, here's the deal. We only have one place in the United States that makes these minerals, or that has the minerals to produce what it takes to run these vehicles. We would have to order from outside of the United States to actually get our thought process together and make this idea they have come to fruition. Do you want to know why? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the United States gets all of their stuff from China. All of it. Every inch of it. So really, who will we belong to? What country would be over us if we only have China to get our stuff from to power these vehicles, the minerals and all of the good stuff that goes into these vehicles, the things that it takes to do it? We don't have enough. It's already been depleted, and it was depleted starting back in the early 70s when all of these climate change people and all of these save the world people started to say, hey, we don't want you drilling. We don't want you going in these mines. We don't want you doing any of that. We don't want you doing any of that. We want you to stop it. And so what ended up happening was a lot of people now turned around and went away from that business. A lot of folks don't have them. They are closed down. A lot of those mines are closed down. And a lot of the mines were actually, the contents were actually sold off. Now, we only have one mine left here in the United States, just one. And that one mine is partially owned by China. I said it. That one mine that we own is owned by China, in part by China. So there is... there's a lot of questions that we don't have the answers to how we got here. Nobody understands that by us doing all of this headed toward the electrical world, that we are going to be on our knees to them as a country, not us specifically, but that as a country, we are definitely going to be on our knees because China has the good stuff. China's got America's goods. China has it, and we'll have to get everything from them. That's not nice. The progressives are part and parcel, part of the problem, but then again, it's also some of the other folks because they didn't do anything to really control what the narrative was. And most of the time, I want to know if they even mean to fix it. They didn't control the narrative. They didn't reinforce what was really going on. One might expect the American mining industry to enjoy bipartisan support. The conservative case is simple. Mining has long contributed to rural economic growth, and miners vote Republican over Democratic at a rate of 9-1. And at the same time, the industry plays a vital role in the nation's growing clean energy sector. Now, this is a story that you might want to look at. It comes from cityjournal.org, and it was written by Thomas Hockman, and it's called Progressives Against Mining. Progressives Against Mining. As Mark Mills has observed, the path to net zero carbon emissions is fraught with mineral dependencies from the cobalt and nickel in electric vehicles, batteries, as well as the copper and silicone in the solar panels, and demand is skyrocketing. One recent White House report predicts as much as 1% increase in the global appetite for graphite and lithium by 2040. Any serious plan to reduce emissions then must tend to the question of the critical mineral supply chain. The environmentalist left, however, has opposed mining for decades. As early as the 1970s, labor organizations such as the Miners for Democracy argued that if mining could not be done without destroying mountains or killing streams, then miners should refuse to do it. By the end of the 20th century, protesters had notched so many wins against the new mining operations that the industry had been all but wiped out in the United States. Battle after battle, the war on mining is taking its toll in the West, noted the New York Times in an article that was dated back in 1998. With more and more jobs going offshore, the article states, the United States has now become a net importer of non-fuel minerals for the first time in modern memory, close quote. And as a result of this sustained campaign, the American mineral industry has hollowed out. Since the mid-20th century, America's critical mining import dependence has nearly tripled. China has secured near monopolistic control of the global mineral chain supply, threatening Americans' access to crucial military and engineer or energy technology. Now, here is the mine that I was telling you about. An Mountain Pass mine, America's only rare earth mining processing facility, is now partially owned by the Chinese state-affiliated company, Xinghe Resources. Let me reread that. China has secured a near monopolistic control of the global mineral supply chain, threatening American access to crucial military and energy technology, and Mountain Pass Mine, America's only rare earth mining processing facility, is now partially owned by the Chinese state-affiliated company, Xinghe Resources. Let that sink in. The political situation for mining has deteriorated too. Progressives, advocates attack mining not only for polluting but also for violating indigenous rights or, quote, being racist. Just last year, a group of environmental activists and legal scholars argued that mining should be prosecuted along with war crimes and genocide at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Do you see how psycho these people can be? They're so psycho. It goes on to say that opposition to mining makes an awkward fit with progressive policy goals. The 2019 Green New Deal resolution calls for good-paying jobs. That's a quote, good-paying jobs. And the average mining salary in the United States stands right now at $61,110. The resolution called for a just energy transition for all communities and workers, shifting coal miners toward other extractive industries would have been more effective than telling them to go learn to code. And then, of course, tucked away at the bottom of the proposal, there is the question of climate change. The United States already has 189 domestic facilities currently capable of producing critical minerals as China asserts more control over the critical mineral supply chain abroad. These facilities will be crucial to securing the renewable resources needed for decarbonizing the national economy. I'm going to pause here and I'm going to interject. I'm going to say something. Some would say, well, who cares? We don't need to be going in this direction anyway. Here's what my point is. We're going this direction, but we're not going to be equipped to do it. And what does that mean? What does that look like? A nation that's going a specific direction and it's not equipped to go there. We're headed that way anyway. It's not like we're going to be able to stop and turn around unless they put in somebody who really is going to put their foot down and reverse all of these curses, right? But just say, for example, this thing goes forward. We don't have what it takes to do it. We'd be reliant upon China, 110% reliant upon China. And that, my friends, is a problem. That is a huge, huge problem when you consider the fact that this is the direction that this cat is taking us. And I have to keep saying that I believe that it's Obama. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. Okay? But China asserts more control over the critical mineral supply chain abroad. These facilities will be crucial to securing the renewable resources needed for decarbonizing the national economy. Yet over the past few years, the only congressional Democrat that seriously has taken up the battle for critical mineral mining has been Joe Manchin. Yeah, I'm going to leave this part of the story here. And what I am going to do is I'm going to let you guys know, again, where you can get this story. The story comes from cityjournal.org. I want to tell you guys something. I want you guys to start to look at a lot of different papers that are not necessarily conservative in nature. I want you to look at some from some old school gentlemen that are writing, okay, or people who write with an old school mindset or who are normal, even though they may be on the other side of the fence from you. And that way you're going to be able to see if they're old school writers, you're going to be able to see the fair and just and balanced way that they present a story. This story dealt with both sides, but what I got from it was what I needed. And that's the fact, letter A, China's involved. B, we're shifting everything in the direction that China's involved. Our mineral dependency, from cobalt, nickel, to copper, to silicon, all of that, we are leaning on another country. And the only mine, this is the points that I'm bringing out from why I don't mind reading stuff from others. And the only mine that America has is partially owned by our enemy. Why do we keep seeing Hunter Biden's, all of these different people, Hunter Biden's affiliates, countries, involved in our stuff? It's almost like a plan that we don't know about. The environmentalist left, however, has opposed mining for decades. And here we are today. Caller number 972-388. Hello, how are you? Caller number 314-677. Hello, how are you? 972?
Peace and blessings.
Give me your first name if you want to.
This is Mr. Shaq out of Texas. How you doing, Ms. Lockhart?
I'm wonderful, Shaq. How are you? And welcome, 314. Welcome.
Hello, Felicia. How you doing?
Hi, Pianki. How are you?
I'm doing very well. It's just
what
a good topic
think?
That you're talking about. And you've been very accurate on it, what you're reading. This is nothing more than you have entities buying U.S. politicians. This thing with solar panels and that, it's been going on for a while. I guess at least going back to, there was a thing going around in the city where you could get tax credits for installing solar installations on existing structures. They even had free solar voltaic classes for individuals where they can learn, where installers can learn about it. And even after all that, it didn't go over too well, because once you start doing the analyzing, it would just cost prohibitive. And I see that back again. And you're absolutely right, Obama's got something to do with it, because remember when he first got elected, it was a deal with the one company called Solandra that came, received some money, and they went bankrupt.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But the one thing that gets me is that how the American public, and see, we got to also remember, too, that the America that we got today is really not the America of the 1950s.
No,
it
isn't.
Practically, We almost have a new America with bringing in all these immigrants, no matter what the classifications are. And it's the sentiments that they carry, it's their logical thinking that's sort of setting the pace. It will set the pace in the future. If Ford decide to come back with something else, they're not going to hire back the American workers. They're going to hire back these foreigners.
Oh, yeah.
I say.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Only, you know, it's, I don't know how we're doing what we're doing. And I'm still waiting, as a woman, I'm still waiting to see a revolution. And I say see because I need to be in the rear helping to take care of people. But I don't know when, or are we, why don't we realize that we're at war? I don't understand that. I don't, is it my naivete? Because, and I'll take that honestly if you say that it is. Because I don't know whether a lot of people really understand what we're doing, what's going on. It's like everybody is, I think we're all chatting about it. But when I see all these other countries that are out there leading the charge, even though they're not putting it out there like they should, the countries that are really standing up against some of the tyranny that they're experiencing, I don't think that, I don't know. I think most of our protests are created and they're allowed and they're led by the ruling class that's here. This is a totally different place. This is nothing like even the 70s, nothing like that. It's not even like the 80s, although it was brewing
then.
No,
it's not. The reasons are bogus. What you got here is what they call rent-a-protester. You know, like rent-a-cop. And they're being prostituted for what little money that they can get, like the ballot stuffers, for instance, $10 for each ballot. Well, hell, you know damn well they're not going to just carry one. They're going to try to make it a go.
Mm-hmm.
Carry as many as you can. $10 a ballot, holy cow. You do 30 of them, that's $300. You do 40, well, hell, now you got a 15-hour minimum wage job.
Look at that.
It is shameful what they're doing to Americans. It really is. You look at the oil industry. Look at all the people that worked at that throughout the years, the standings that have been made, the breakthroughs, the people that's involved in different fields, from chemical engineers, some of your best and brightest, your young people, and look what they're trying to do to us. Actually, they are. And technically, federal government shouldn't have any goddamn, well, I'm sorry, shouldn't have anything
keep
to
going.
Do with it. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have anything to do with it whatsoever. Then you have to look and say, well, why are the states letting this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. China is helping to manipulate your streams. Chinese have been here in America. They learned to speak the language, learned the customs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're helping to manipulate your politicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The lady out there in California, the one with the big square head, she looks like a Lego. I can't remember her name. Feinstein? I think it's Feinstein.
Yeah,
in California.
She looks like a Lego block.
Yeah, yeah. She was really, then she had like a henchman who was actually her driver or something, right? And it was like lots of secrets being passed through him or something. But I do
right.
know that there's a lot of relationships here that we've never questioned. And I think it started because there was this foundation of, you know, love and peace, love everybody, don't judge anyone. And that opened the door for the complete avalanche of, you know, of what we're dealing with right now, just the destruction. It's like you let one little pebble fall and you don't catch it, or you let one little drip come out of the dam and you don't go and, you know, close the fissure in the dam, or you know, at least put a finger over the dike until you can cover something. Now you've got the whole thing that's fallen in, and there's really nothing anybody can do. I don't know what can be done, to be quite candid. I think we're very far gone. We're very far gone, and it's so concerning for, you know, maybe not for the older people, but it is definitely for the children who are obviously weaker now than we were.
They are not being educated correctly. And I'm talking about all children. Green ones, pink ones, black ones, white ones. None of them are being educated correctly. And it's going to show.
Do you think they're even given the opportunity to learn the correct way?
No, not anymore, because you can see what's going on in some of these school board meetings. How they label parents as terrorists, well, if they want to hold a school board accountable, you look at the data, Now, the data do show where it's holding up. In inner city schools, it's just continually to be sad. But that's because of the leadership. If people are blaming others, they know others, it's you. You the one that's doing that to your children, black folks, black leadership. And you know something, you have to admit that. I was just looking at Chicago. Bobby Rush, been in there since 1993. Danny Davis, 1997. Those people have been around forever.
Wow.
I mean, it's just sad. It's to the point where it's time to start whooping some butt.
There you go. That's what I'm wondering. You know, that is what I'm wondering. I'm wondering either will it be secession by civil war? States can secede? Or how, you know, who's going to be the first state to step up? There's got to be one state that can start this onslaught. And I don't know which state it could be. I thought Missouri might, when they did what they did with their gun laws a few years ago, you know, letting the federal government know, hey, stay in your place, stay in your lane. But I don't know. I don't know.
Now, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the kicker, Felicia. It takes time to produce that individual, starting from a child.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about at least 12 years of primary education, then another four years of whatever.
Correct.
And early on, they have to be guided, and they have to be put on the right track, and they have to be inseminated with what they need to know and need to have in order to be an American.
Mm-hmm.
That just don't happen overnight. So that means that we're going to have to, that people are going to have to start today, and hopefully in 20 years from now, you have a whole different mindset that's needed to start turning this stuff around.
Mm. But 20 years with them at the helm, and having already exacted much of their revenge on this country, 20 years in advance means that they've already got the country's pretty much gone. Look what they've been able to do in just 19 months. In just 19 months, can you imagine what would happen by the time that child would be prepared to even do a 1/16th of what they needed to do to start to change? You'd have to almost have a whole colony of children that were then producing their own children to just come up from up underground and do something. I mean, if you think about it, that's why I feel like, gee whiz, whoa, boy, what did we not do? What did we not do? What happened while we were
asleep? People sat on their butts and was comfortable. That was what happened. Is taking your kids to these government schools and not making sure that what you learn in order to make you strong, that is, if you are so, that it's not being taught to the church. That's what didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about generation. It takes a generation to get a person, a people, where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say the African country is about 160 years behind what we see in the United States. And they're saying that some people are not smart. What we're saying, you don't have the intergenerational smartness, dedication, strength. And that's what it takes. Even here in the United States, some segments of the black community are about 60 years behind. Why? Because here you got some of the common things today. It's like 35-year-old grandparents. You know damn well it ain't going to work.
No,
how long
it's not.
Does it take to make a good grandparent? You're a grandmother.
Well, I just want to say this.
Go ahead,
this is my
Mac,
perspective.
Sorry.
My measly little 40 years, Bianca, Ms. Lockhart. My measly little 40 years. Over the years, we have taken vanity over sanity. And a lot of people play on that. And a lot of these outside entities play on that.
I like that. That's true. I have to agree with you. Even while I sip my water, I agree.
No, because think about it. With all the things that you just laid out, and Pianca continued to lay out, things were laid out on Judge Brown's show, and you're like, well, dang, people are smart, people are intelligent, people are educated. So why is the change, the positive, tangible change is not being made? And that's coming from the top, too.
Mm-hmm.
You got professors that's up there. You got people that's telling children that they can change their gender. I mean,
wow.
Who ever thought that you would coerce a child to be the opposite of what they were born. Damn, boy,
true.
That's deep.
That's deep. Very deep. And
that's
and
deep.
You know, there are several. What got me into this particular City Journal was, let me see if I can find the individual. It was a woman. It's a woman. And fair warning, she is a lesbian. And I think we need to delve into this. I really do. I think we need to look at some of the stuff that some of them are saying. There are some things that we don't know or we don't hear. This woman made a comment, and I actually began to follow their page on Twitter. So it's a group of gay people, and I'm following them now on Twitter. Why? Because they have an organization that's saying, stop the grooming of children. Listen to what I just said. They are vehemently opposed to the grooming of children, as they say, because the pedophilia groups are the ones that's orchestrating this, the trans conversations in school. This woman said, had she known when she was standing up years ago for her rights as a quote-unquote lesbian woman, that the gender or the transgender groups were going to attach themselves to the movement, she said she would have never protested. Let that sink in.
Ms. Lockhart.
Mm-hmm.
As a what rights as a lesbian woman was she protesting compared to what rights as a just a woman?
She wasn't. She didn't know. She didn't know. This is a clear example of a movement being hijacked by a demonic group who always had this in mind. You see, they pumped them up. And while they were marching back in that time frame for their gay and lesbian rights, the people who were actually drumming, okay, or pied piping with their little piccolos and their little flutes as they were marching down the street, those who were the instruments of change were actually creating the rhythm, creating the momentum, building it up. I'm not sure if there's any musicians in the house, but listen, when we used to get on stage, vocalists, we already knew that if it was a live band, the tempo on a track that we normally sang to, the tempo was going to start out one way, but by the time we were done at the end of the song, the live band had already picked up momentum. And it was actually a little faster than we normally remember it. Why? Because we're all dancing to the beat of one drum, so we thought. But the drummer got control. Even though I'm the singer, even though I'm the vocalist, the drummer, the whole rhythm section actually, they got control. That was the rhythm section. Who you see right now, the transgender movement and the men wanting to go in the girls' bathroom, they disguise themselves as they did with the black woman with the whole feminist movement. They disguise themselves as one of the wounded. Who are the wounded?
Well, you know,
the wounded are the black women who need to have, you got to have your rights. The wounded was these lesbian people, and all they did was kept beating the drum, and they kept following, and they pushed the door in for what is now the most monstrous group, and they know it. The gays know it.
Tempo,
they don't want nothing to do with it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That tempo is tantamount of getting a heavy object into motion. You usually start off slow.
Mm-hmm.
Then once you get it going, a natural force takes over called inertia.
That's right.
Then it requires less energy to keep it going and make it go faster. So once you get it going, it takes less energy, and that's what you're saying. They're trying to work off the inertia.
There
Shaq
you go.
Asked a good question. What was this lesbian lady being denied of? She a female. I mean, she's a citizen. She has civil rights.
There you go.
So is it that you want the rest of society to look at you as
special
and accept it?
I call it the badge of honor. They want to walk in with the badge of honor.
Well,
like,
but you know
they want
that
to wear their sexuality
same...
as a badge of honor.
That's right. And you can see that it's the same conductor, right? It's the same thing as if you had, you know, Andre Previn was about to get up there and just he was about to begin to just do this beautiful or, you know, orchestration. He's got the whole orchestra. Then he taps his wand and everybody sits in awe. This is tantamount to that. You got a director, the conductor, and the conductor plays. But what he does is he plays, and the people that are in the orchestra, the ones who are the needy, that's why I pinpointed the black woman with the feminist, same conductor. But he don't want nothing to do with her. He wants his band. He wants his orchestra to be the lead act on Friday. So he's just going to make everybody feel nice and comfortable and begin to like him. And to begin to receive whatever it is that he's got. See, he's the big mouth. You see? You get the big mouth, and the big mouth goes out there, and yes, this is what we want. Yes! You get the ALCs. We want to kill the babies. Yes! Come on, we want to. And then you go out and you get all the old hags, the old crones, all right, the old bitter witches. They all come out, and they all say, yeah, we want it. Give it to us now. You get the Warrens, and then you get the Maxine Waters, and you get all the Pelosi's, and you get everybody. Yeah, we want to give it to us, give it to us. And the idiots that are now, I shouldn't even say idiots because they're the wounded. They're literally wounded people who've never been taught any form of emotional intelligence, and therefore now they feel like they need somebody to be their voice. And that's what happened with this woman. It happened with her. It happened with all the black women who joined in with the whole feminist movement and all the other women who joined in believing that they were you got more black women right now protesting for transgender men, transgender quote-unquote women right now. More black women are the ones that are standing up for transgender men who have been born a man and flipped over. You got more black women caping for them. And the question is why? But this is what we're about to see. Now, we just had 2 weeks ago, President, old boy, whatever his name is, Mr. Flip-Flop, whatever, Biden, if that's what he is. I hope he's just biding his time until he hurries up and gets out. But anyway, I digress. He just got through signing that whole the education bill. He signed it. And it's not even a bill. I believe it was an EO. It was an EO. It was an education EO that deals with transgender, that talks about the punishment of children if X isn't done in school, that talks about implementing all of these different things that they need to do through the education department. And DeVos just came out and said she believes that the whole education system or the educational division needed to be canceled. I have to agree. I've been saying that forever. I've been saying that as it relates to the student loan thing. The whole entire thing just needs to go. The whole entire country needs an enema. The whole country.
How are you as a president dipping your nose in person in private people's? That's deep there. That's
now you get to understand, Shaq. They don't have that right. Federal government don't have any damn right messing with your local school district unless you invite it. And you know how you go about doing that is when you take the carrot. You take the carrot and you roll it over and start reading all kind of devil in the detail things start coming out. They don't have no right to tell you how to educate your child. Well, why did you let that happen? I don't understand it. Good gracious, man. I don't understand it.
And this is where we are.
With fathers and mothers? That's
No, that's not going to help it. An executive order will supersede anybody's thought process, to be clear. And so what's gone on now is with this executive order, the whole transgender book has been opened and has been written. And it is coming down through the school system, and especially considering the fact that this very same president was the one who decided, hey, listen, if you don't allow the transgender movement in your school, we're going to cut off your school lunch. If you get the agricultural or the federal agricultural free lunch, those schools that don't agree, we're going to kick you down, and we're going to make sure that you're not getting the free lunch. You're going to get lots of problems. So this is not an organization or an administration that is concerned about children, that's concerned about people, because you don't threaten people you're concerned with the ability to feed their children while they're gone for 6 to 7 hours a day. So what's it all
about?
Well,
see, Felicia, there we go again. See, remember back in the day how they used to convince, twist on, coerce, and beat people over the head to get involved with Title I, because it sounds so humble. It sounds, oh, these poor kids don't have no breakfast, blah, blah, blah. So we're going to provide money so that you can provide
There's some type of either we're on a speakerphone somewhere, but one of our lines have a lot of, sounds like a deep hum. It's gone now. It's gone now.
So you have to ask yourself, how the heck did all the country get involved in free and reduced lunch? I remember kids used to take brown bag lunches to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Chicago, you had one case where a black boy brought a brown bag lunch to school and got in trouble. Oh, no, you can't do that. You got to get involved in this program. Tell your mommy. So now you depended on them, and what did they do? Well, here it is, 2022. They tell you, if you don't go along with this program, this idea, this executive order, we're going to take away your lunch, and you won't have nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm. Fear. Fear. It's the same hand that and see, it's exactly like the, like the Snow White story. You've got the evil wicked witch, right? And she feigns to be she feigns to be the friend. Or you've got the evil witch that feigns to be the fairy godmother, all right, in any story. You can trust me. You can trust me here. Here, take this. Then you take it and you find out later that you should have never taken it. It's like taking a bad business deal. It's like taking money from a mob leader. And then you later find out that not only did the mob leader give you the money, but he also took over your business and you've been paying him back with compounded interest and you don't even own what you had once. It's not yours. You thought it was. You thought you were getting somebody to help you get you out of your financial issues. You don't understand it. Now you're working for the cat that has literally absconded with your business. He's taken over your business. Now you paying him. Now he pimping you out, and you thought you had the American dream as an entrepreneur. That's exactly how this situation plays out with us. The bad part about it is that there are some school systems, because, you know, I had the grandsons, and I have them. I got a new one now, much to my chagrin, but he's here and I understand why. But I will just say this. While they were in school, they didn't like the lunches. And I couldn't blame them, because one day on Grandparents' Day, I went and I sat and I looked at their lunch. The boys had already taken their lunch with them. But as Grandparents' Day, you had to go in the cafeteria and sit down. And, you know, you could get the juice, or the kids could get a milk or something like that, or a piece of fruit to add to the lunch they already had. And I looked at the food the kids were eating. It looked the equivalent of prison food. Didn't look anything like even a McDonald's or even a low-graded Taco Bell, which to me, those are the worst of the worst. They're all bad, but that's, to me, the worst of the worst. This meat was a high... light brownish with a green tinge, and I'm not joking. And I began to look over at the other kids' food, and I told the boys, I said, aren't you guys glad that you bring your own lunch every day? Yes, grandmother. But I looked at that slop. The slop. I've always likened public schools to a feeder school to prisons. Because everything about them, from the way they have the children walk on the wall while the teachers are walking them down the hall to go to the library, to the way that they have the children quiet in a certain way, to the way that they have the kids in the line to get their food, to the way that there's no windows on any or the majority of the public schools in inner city. They look like feeder schools, and the feeder school goes straight into the prison. The food, the bathroom situation with no privacy in some of the bathrooms now. This is tantamount to a prison. The food that they feed them looks like slop. For human consumption, I wouldn't be surprised. Would be slapped on the side of the boxes. I would not be shocked if I saw a box and it said for human consumption, because that's exactly what's on the side of the boxes for the prison, for human consumption. Coincidentally, it's exactly the same thing that's slapped on the side of a box that goes into Taco Bell's meat. The Taco Bell meat has for human consumption. They have been programming the children to go to prison. They have been programming them. The principal looks exactly like the warden. If you don't want to get yourself in any trouble, you don't want to go to the principal's office, then you got to do X. But it started off slowly. It started off with them going to all of the Indian reservations. And we now know, for those of us who've really done some digging in it, most of us are so busy, we don't have a lot of time. But we now know that the Indian reservations are what they converted to the term plantations. And they went and they scooped up all of these kids and they took them and they took the missionaries and then they taught them the quote-unquote way of the West, the God of the West. But all it was indoctrination. It started out as indoctrination. It's still indoctrination. And all this is the new wave of what they want these children to be indoctrinated with. Listen, if you've got a group of parents that are now suing school boards, school systems, I should say, because the school systems will not allow the parents to see what the curriculum is or what the job requirement is for the teacher. What are you hiding? We're sending our children to you, and you can't even tell us what the job requirement is. You can't tell us what the curriculum is. You cannot tell us anything about these people. What is this? No, not enough parents are asking. There's not enough parents that are asking. And, you know, I know that I take a lot of flack because I always seem to be hardest on black women and black families because I care about us. You see? And I don't want, yeah, and I don't want to see the same stupid mistakes being made. But I'm going to tell you, as a counselor while dealing with a lot of young women, there are some that have gotten themselves together. But I tell you, the majority have not. The majority have not. And the things that we don't understand is that, yeah, something may not be easy to deal with, but it's your children that are on the line. You know, a lot of women these days are not, they're not allowing themselves to be feminine. They're not allowing themselves to be a lady. They're not allowing themselves to be a mother. They don't even know what a mother really is. And what ends up happening is now we've got too many of us that do not have any leadership at all. We've got too many of us that are now walking around wounded and crazy because of the way that these children are being brought into this earth. But the issue is, this is going to be a complete ceasing seal for these dogs. The dogs are
after
children.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about school board members.
Yeah.
What are these? What are they?
They're
these can't be human beings. They got
they
to be implants
be.
Or something.
They have to be. They have to be. Anytime
now
you can
we
be labeled as a terrorist.
Now you start to get to your spirituality. Is something going on here? Under normal circumstances, no human being acts like this toward others. Is something going on here?
Mm-hmm.
These cannot be human beings, I think.
They're not.
Something's wrong with these folks.
They're not. There is something wrong. And I think that it's our naivete over the years that have prevented us from understanding the reality that is. We have had so much, and to coin what Shaq just got to saying as far as, I think it was it ego or vanity? What was the term you used, Shaq?
Vanity over sanity.
Yeah, it's the vanity of man that makes us believe that we are the only entity that has feet that walk on this land, that walk in this place, that walk in this realm. I mean, even the people who like to read the Bible will be able to go back and you'll see there's blatant, there are words that are jumping off the page telling you that's a non-human. Look at Caleb. Caleb and Joshua went in, and when they went into the land, they came back with a report, and the report, because everybody else was going, and they were like, oh, we can't fight them. They're going to kill us. They're going to kill us. So Caleb and Jacob came back with a very copious report. There are giants there, and yes, they do eat people. They do eat man. They do tear them and eat them as flesh, eat them as bread. And even Yah even said, I know them that eat my people as flesh. He was talking about cannibals. He was talking about the giants. They still here. That's the reason why they're tampering with the DNA now. But there's so many people who are walking around with this, you know, Catholic mindset, this Christian mindset, that they can't see the reality that science is now at the apex. It's now at the, we've now hit the tip top of that triangle, pardon the pun. We're now at the very tip top, but science has always been running the show. The religion of science has always been running the show. They've always been putting, part person. The chimera is not something new. You always had part animal, part person. This stuff was going back way in the Egyptian times. When you had the bad angels or the bad dudes going in sleeping with the women, and people read that and they think, oh, yeah, see, it's a fairy tale. See what happened? Nah, dude. You got literal reptiles walking among you. You've got literal hybrids walking among you. They have to make people into part human, part cyborg, to exact what it is that they came here to do. We're not it. We're not all. But see, having a tunnel mind sits you, makes you sit there just like you sitting there like a sitting duck, don't even know what's really going on. I believe that if most of us, even those of us who say we believe in quote-unquote God, Yah, quote-unquote a higher power, Jesus, whatever, if we really knew what was going on around us, I don't think most of us would be able to hang. Because see, what's about to happen with all of this 5G, and all of this stuff that's going in is the great delusion. How do you think holographic things work? How do you think they were able to put things up in the sky and test it out, buildings in the sky, and people see a big old cloud building? What you think that was for? It was a test pilot, Dodo. It was a test pilot, because in a minute, if you're looking for something or somebody to come from the sky and you see that, you're going to think that's it. But if you look deeper, you're going to find out that what you saw in the sky was them testing something. They were testing. I thought it was very curious the night that SpaceX, as a matter of fact, sent up that thing, and everybody all over the United States could see it. It was huge. Went up in the sky. It looked like a fat brush at the front and a long, weird tail. And then when it hit the ceiling, and I said ceiling, when it hit the top of that dome, all you saw was ripples, ripple, 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 ripple. Anybody and everybody who remembers that or can go and find the original video of that, because they've subsequently taken them down. When SpaceX equipment went way up into the dark night sky, clear, no clouds, you saw ripple. What ripples? You drop a pea, even in a still lake, you can take a pinto bean and drop it in a still lake. This is a lake that's not moving. What happens? A ripple, then a bigger ripple, and it gets bigger and it goes. We don't begin to know what's really going on, and people don't want to offend nobody, so everybody just sort of sits back in the cut and pretends to be dumb and stupid. But if everybody just really did their own research and they could really tell you what's good, here's another question. Why can't you go to Antarctica? Why can't you go? Why after Bird came back with his report, did Bird end up gone? If you don't know who he is, I ain't telling you. Look him up, y'all who's listening. Why did, after Bird went and came back with his report, why did he die? Why then did all the countries get together and decide, hey, don't send nobody to Antarctica? You have to have permission. Why? People don't want to answer the question. Why does the phrase NASA in Hebrew mean deceit? These are questions. People get mad at you, Pianki, when you just ask questions, though. I'm just asking questions.
Well, look, Felicia, I'm going to get off from here. I got to get back to work. I was painting all of my bullets silver. Got to get back to that.
Are you kidding?
I'll catch up with you and Shaq later on.
Bye-bye. He said he was painting all of his
bullets
silver. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. I hope you have great success with that, my friend. Shaq, a lot of people don't like it, and I understand it, but if you don't have an answer, who told you the question? Who told you that it was the answer? That's just a question. Who told you that it was X? Who told you? Where's the answers? Nobody likes to dig into the answers. And so we all still sit around, not necessarily our former guests, but just sitting around, just going in circles, going in circles, going in circles, going in circles. We at the same time can say that we don't believe, that we shouldn't have believed everything that came from mainstream education. I'll let that sit there for a second. I want to thank everybody for being here. 515-605-3-9357. 515-605-9357. Get you in to call us next time we're here live. This is Felicia Lockhart, and this is the Lockhart Perspective. I thank each and every one of you guys for being here. I really do. I really do. Let's take a quick second. Yeah, so we're talking about a lot of stuff, and I thought that was the cutest thing. He says, hey, she's a conspiracy theorist, and I got to go over here and paint the rest of my silver bullets. But what if silver bullets really worked, my friend? What if the silver bullets was really what you needed? That's a good one. Okay, all the lines are going to be open right now, and so if you are interested in just even saying hello, you are welcome to do so. Just remember to be respectful, you know, because everybody does have unique and very different thought processes. And so if you have something that you'd like to say, go on ahead and chime in. I have to ask you a question there, Shaq. You guys were talking the other day about, let me just ask you, give us your take on how the Egyptology, how it plays into today's society, if you don't mind. Are you able to do that?
Egyptology. I could just, not really. I mean, I'm going to have to think about it. You put me on the spot. I'm going to have to think about it. Could you elaborate a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of people who understand different things about Egypt. They understand the different things. You know, a lot of people harp on one piece, and I'm not saying, I shouldn't even use the term harp. I should say that they would like to bring light to the fact that there were very melanated people that were in Egypt, for example. And there's a lot to be said about Egypt. What do you know about it?
I don't know too much. I just try to I don't think it was the first. It was the first place. I just think it was probably one of the highest points of science and whatever. Everybody say we came from Egypt. I don't necessarily think so. I just think it was one of the highest points in that time, on the timeline for science and whatever.
Who do you think made the pyramids? How do you think they were made?
Man, oof. Let me see.
I mean, if you look at them, if we just stopped and just took a, and I'm asking these questions in a rhetorical fashion because the deal is that if we never expand our brains to think beyond what they tell us, we've lost.
Well,
I know this sounds kooky.
We'll put it like
I know
this.
It does. I know it sounds a little
if
kooky.
If they give us the story about Noah building this big old ark, right? that's mechanics. That's the technology. That's science. That's a wood shop, right? Mechanics, right?
That's right. That's right.
I'm thinking they had mechanical machines. I'm thinking they had to have big mechanical machines to make those pyramids. No natural human being can make those pyramids without any mechanical machine, any type of whatever machinery.
Could a giant
whatever modern or ancient machinery? That's impossible.
There were some, and what I'll do is I'll put it on my YouTube channel on the Lockhart Perspective, not headlines. There are some huge blocks, huge, that could not have been moved by anything at that time. I mean, they found no cranes from those days. They have found nothing that was large enough to manipulate the size of the rock that was placed, like, for example, at the base of a pyramid or at the base of this building or at the base of that building. And they show one solid stone in areas that there was no way that a person could have put there. Huge, tall, tall, tall buildings that no people could have put there. None. The question I ask is, where did they come from? Where did they come from? And again, I always tell people that even with the book that they believe in, you will find things that jump off the page and should make you scratch your head. Because there are mysteries in the book. There's mysteries in the Bible. There are mysteries. There really are. There's answers and there are mysteries. But what happens is we look at life in a lens of this is normal. And once we start to look at life in a lens of this is normal, when the stuff that is based on those who are really manipulating this world starts to show their head, we can't handle it. That's why we can't handle the whole mindset of the transgender world and why these people are out here doing this stuff.
As I look at some of those stories in the Bible and some biblical texts and stuff, even with the Adam and Eve story, now, if I just take off any mysticism out and just say, I read it and say, oh, that was the first surgeon, right? That was surgery, right? we would be led to believe that these triple bypass surgeons stuff is the first of its own, of its kind.
Absolutely.
Maybe it was so far past that all that memory got wiped away with whatever Mother Nature's, you know, decision it made. All that information got wiped away. That data got wiped away.
Let me tell you something.
It feels new to us.
If you look at the Old Testament, and you, for example, look at Ezekiel, the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Look at the cherubim and the seraphim. These things were the most ugly creatures you could have ever described. Have you ever looked at what the seraphim and the cherubim look like? If you just break it down, it's like he's got this many arms, this many eyes. His head moves about like this. This is a real thing. We don't know anything because we have been engineered and patterned after what they want us to be patterned after. Because that's what they put in mainstream schools. That's what they put in all the books that we are allowed to read. That's what they put. But in the movies that they give us, they go, here, we're going to tease you a little bit. You see this? This is a movie called Men in Black. Look at this, you guys. We're going to give them all these different characters. And we're going to make them think that it's just a movie. Okay. Not saying that everything in those movies are real. What I'm saying is they are giving you clues to the trash that they do. And it's just man's vanity that makes us think we are the only beings. If you look back, how do we get these different beings? There's one called the Dragon Man. Have you heard of Dragon Man?
I never heard of that one yet. Dragon Man.
I heard of the dragon, but not Dragon Man. Yeah, let me pull it up for you. They actually discovered the bones or the remains, and he dates back millions of years almost. Hold on. Hold on, let me find it. There you go. Dragon Man Skull. Dragon Man found in China. All right. Dragon Man Skull found in China. All right. It may be a new species. But do you know what the species really is? Well, no, I don't have time to go into that right now. And if I thought that Bianchi got off the phone quickly, that would clean the house. That would burn it up. That really would. Let me just tell you this.
All right, I wish. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go.
Here's the deal. I'm going to read this first part for you, and then I'm going to tell you what it could be. Not saying what it is, just what it could be. All right? All right, hold on. Let me get this in here. All right. So hidden down a well for decades, the stunningly complete cranium is stirring debate about the increasing number of fossils that don't neatly fit in the classic human origin story. The strange skull appeared soon after the Japanese invaded northeast China. In the early 1930s, a team of locals were raising a bridge near Harbin, a city in China's northernmost province, when one of the workers stumbled on a surprise in the river mud. The nearly complete skull, human skull, had an elongated cranium from which a heavy brow protruded, shading the gaping squares that once housed eyes. And then there was the skull's unusual size. It's enormous, says a paleoanthropologist, Chris Stringer, of London's Natural History Museum. Perhaps unaware of the magnitude of the find, the man secreted the skull away in an abandoned well. That's where he secured it, okay? He secreted it. He put it there in an abandoned well. Now, nearly 90 years later, a study published in the journal The Innovation makes the case that this skull represents a new human species, Homo longi, or Dragon Man. The additional studies reveal that the stunningly preserved cranium likely came from a male that died at least 146,000 years ago. Let that sink in. He died, allegedly, 146,000 years ago. It's a mashup of both ancient and more modern anatomical features, hence at a unique placement of the human family tree. Here is where I'm trying to go. If you just use the Bible, and if you just use the term, let us make man in our image, as the only thing, okay, that man came from, you will think that those were the first people. They were not the first people. They had tried to make people many, many times before then. And that's the reason why you're going to keep seeing them find discovery after discovery after discovery, after different head shape, after a different body shape, because it is stated that those who let us make man, it is said that those who are a part of the let us make man were literally creating. And each time they made one, they couldn't find one that was good. So they got rid of that one. And then there was another one that they made, and then they got rid of that one. One had arms too long. One had a torso too short. And one had a head too big. One had one eye, no eye. They were making man until Adam, made of the earth, was created. So what you're seeing is all of the skulls and all of the bones and all of the stuff from before being discovered, because the earth is older than they say it is. People keep putting the earth as the beginning in the Bible, but it started long before then. Well, you've got some hidden texts that they've now found that show you that there is validity in that. But it's because of man's vanity that we think we're it, and we think that we're the beginning, and we think that we are it. We're the most intelligent. Listen, even Americans are that way. We'll get ready to take a trip and go to another country and act as if we got to take everything we can that we use on our hair and skin from here to over there with us, because they ain't got this product over there. And then you get over there and you see they got that stuff marked down. That's the stuff that they just, you know, okay, well, you're from America, here you go. I remember that happened to me. I went to a foreign country, and I was like, well, I know they don't have this. Let me take me some extras. Then I looked, and I was like, gee whiz, I didn't even need it. Then you find things that are better. Some people say that when you go to a foreign country, you end up with diarrhea. Well, humans in America feel like, oh, I gotta be careful. When you get over there, you're eating real food. That's where the diarrhea comes from. But people don't see it that way. You can't tell anybody that. If you tell somebody what I just said, and you say, well, she attributed it to the fruits and vegetables being real over there. Oh, no, America, we got the highest rating for food, and we got the strictest. Man, the FDA doesn't even check the food. The FDA stopped checking the food. I did a report about 3 months ago how they were blasted for not even looking into stuff. But yet still, you can go to Jamaica, you can go to the Bahamas, and I'm not talking about the built-up areas that are the touristy areas. I'm talking about going to a village and pull a piece of fruit off the tree. A mango don't taste like they taste here. Bananas have seeds there. So awesome it that the diarrhea comes from the fact that you're eating whole food and your body don't know how to act. Lots of different things that we get a lot of vanity about. This is one of the topics that has really, really are conversations that some of my very strong, close colleagues and I have, but a lot of people aren't ready for these conversations. These conversations clear the dance floor because nobody is allowed to think outside of what they were taught. Nobody is allowed to talk about anything at all. You can't talk about, now listen, here's the deal. The government is about to show you who they really are. And you're going, people who are listening are going to remember this conversation because I'm telling you right now, in a minute, they're going to give you holograms that resemble what you think is a rapture. And the Bible doesn't even talk about a rapture in the way that man does. That's not even a quote-unquote God word. That's man. That's the Catholic Church. Well, they had to put it in there because what they're about to show you to come from the sky, whether it's next 5 years, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, something coming from the sky, they're going to pretend to have a nice little galactic war with it. And they're going to make you guys think that they got to lock everything down. Trust me when I say it. And I always tell people, don't believe me. Just do your research. And when you start to do your research, a lot of the questions that my comments raise will get answered. But you really got to walk into it with an open mind, willing to learn something outside of what you've been told, outside of what you've been taught. And remember, where did you hear that from? Who told you that? Who told you that it was this? Who told you that it was that? A lot of people don't want to hear that the earth is a flat place. That it is a planet. I believe it is. That's just my personal opinion. And I still love you if you think it's a globe. But who told you it was a globe? Why can't you go to Antarctica? What did Bird find? Why did he die shortly after his report? Where's his report? People will argue with me, but they can't answer those questions. Aha. Aha, it's just, how much skin off of one's nose would be removed if they held on to their belief in one arm, like a football, up under there, right there at the waist, and just did a little digging with the other arm? How does that affect you? You see, these are the questions that I like to ask because this tells us how we are able to deal with information from others and still hold on to what we believe, but at least be respectful to dig into what they're saying. A lot of truth has been discovered that way, Shaq. Did you know that? A lot of truth has been discovered that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's the reason why we have to really learn to be respectful and open to others' ideas and others' thoughts. Because even though you may not believe with 110% or 100% of what I've said or anybody else has said, perhaps there's 2% you could use. But by stopping that person and blocking that person from sharing or disseminating the information that they have, you prevent yourself from gaining a nice piece of your own personal puzzle. Has that ever happened to you? Where you've already had a thought maybe 2 months ago and you thought about it and you went on your way. And then you stumbled upon a person and they said something. And not the whole burrito you accept, but just a piece of maybe like one of the beans in the burrito. You're like, hey, that goes along with what I was just talking about. Has that ever happened? That goes along with what I was just talking about 2 months ago. Have you ever had that?
Would it surprise you if I say they happen all the time?
No, that wouldn't surprise me. You're very awake. Pineal glands possibly very open. Chakras are working. Trying to drink my water, folks. Trying to get my water in. But yeah, the chakras are obviously working. Yeah, she said chakras. Yeah, get over yourself. You got them. Most people are being motivated by the one between the kneecaps and the navel most of the time because they don't know how to deal with the one that's on the top or the one that's in the center, the heart or the top of the head. People really need to get in touch with what's going on because this right now, we've been talking about the age of Aquarius and now we're in it. We left Pisces. Now we're in the age of Aquarius, which means you got to arrive to something different to deal with what's about to happen or you're not going to be able to function because you're going to constantly every single day ask why. What? Huh? They did what? Anyway, this has been fun. I'm glad you guys decided, for those of you who tuned in, to spend the last 2 hours with me. It's been really fun, really great. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. Shaq, thank you for coming on. I appreciate Pianki, who always has an excellent thing to add to the show. So I want to tell you guys, you know, we're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can just dial in. 515-605-9357 will get you in as a guest caller on the Lockhart Perspective. Again, this is the Felicia Lockhart Show, and I am Felicia Lockhart, thanking each and every one of you for tuning in. Hey, you might find something here that just piques your curiosity. And if you don't do anything but to call in and disagree with me, please, please do so. All right, you guys. I want you guys to remember what we always say, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High. You guys take care of yourselves and one another. And when we see each other again, please, I want you to continue to rock being blessed. All right. You guys take care.
Peace.
Lockhart Radio.